This week on The Mailbag, we hear from Katie, who wrote to us on Facebook. She writes, "We hosted a playdate this morning, and my friend commented that our family room and adjoining playroom are always so neat and clean. I thanked her, but then she said, 'Well, you do have a cleaner, right?' Yes, I do have a house cleaner. She comes every 2 weeks and deep cleans our kitchen, 2 bathrooms, and 3 bedrooms. She doesn't even touch the living areas downstairs because I can clean those areas quickly. I'd rather pay her to deep clean. The reason my house looks so neat and clean is because I put many, many hours decluttering and organizing our home. Thank you to Lisa and her 100-day home organization program. Apparently, I have a live-in maid that I'm not telling anyone about." Do you have an Organized 365 success story? We'd love to hear about it. Send us an email at lisa@organized365.com and let us know how you've changed your life and your home with Organized 365. Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. 60 is the new 40. How do you feel when I say that? I'm telling you, I really have become a generational expert. Ever since I was young, like, I love to learn about history, specifically American history, especially since, like, you really can tackle it. It's only like 300 years old. So you could go back and study all of the generations and how the United States was birthed and all of the big movers and shakers in each of the generations. And I love the book Generations by Neil Strauss and William Howe. It is a thick book. It is only available in a book. And I think you have to get an older copy. I don't know if it's still in print. It's not as easy to get. You can find it on Amazon. But I love that book. And it traces all of the generations from like the 1500s until into the future. And it talks about how these 4 generation types keep cycling through. So we have baby boomers, Gen X, millennials, and then Gen Z. And the alpha generation is going to be similar to baby boomers. And the silent generation that's older than baby boomers is similar to Gen Z. Each generation has their own unique spin on things, but in general, there are characteristics of each of these generations that repeat about every 80 years. Well, a few years ago, I wrote the book, The Mindset of Organization, Take Back Your House One Phase at a Time. And in that book, I talked about this idea of each generation really looking at the home differently, and that we use our kitchens differently in childhood, in our 20s and 30s, in our 40s and early 50s, and then 55 plus. And I labeled each of these generations. So 0 to 21 is childhood. Your 20s and 30s are your accumulating years. You're accumulating houses and spouses and jobs and all kinds of things. And then you hit the survival years, 40 to 55, where you're literally living in your car. And you would love to get organized, but you're never at home. So how could you possibly organize the house that you don't live in? You're constantly organizing your car because it is your mobile home. And then 55 plus is what I labeled downsizing and legacy because I'm 46. And from my experience of working with women, typically 55 to 70 were the ages that would hire me, is they were downsizing their houses. They were clearing out the clutter so that they could do what I'm now going to call their second act. And we might even get to a third act. These rebirths. So since writing the book, The Mindset of Organization, I have come to change my view on your life after the age of 50. So I'm 47, so it's mostly through observation that I'm making these discoveries. But one of the things that really helped me change my mind was being in Strategic Coach. So I've mentioned before, I'm in the Strategic Coach program. It is founded by Dan Sullivan. Dan Sullivan at this age is somewhere in his mid-70s, like 73 to 75, I think is how old he is. He started this coaching program back in the 70s, I think. I think that's when he started it. No, it must have been in the 80s. It's been around for like 30 years, and it is the premier coaching program for entrepreneurs. He is an entrepreneur. He has studied entrepreneurs. He's been there, done that, got the t-shirt, and he knows the different programs that entrepreneurs need in order to scale and grow a duplicatable business. In this program, when you're at my level, which is the strategic coach level, Dan isn't actually my coach. I get a different coach, and my coach is 76 years old. So Dan is in his early 70s. My coach is 76. I'm basically learning how to run my business from people in their 70s. Now, if you know anything about age, like most people retire at 65, right? And what I've noticed lately is it's not the case. My father-in-law, I believe, is 75. Yeah, 74, 75. Still working, still going to work every single day. And I remember my grandfather, who just passed away, I think it was like about 5 years ago, maybe at 103 years old. He retired from his job, and then he became a consultant, and then he retired again at the age of 70. So that was in like the early 90s, maybe, or late 1980s when he did that. This idea of retiring at 65 is kind of going by the wayside for many reasons. Number one, people are living a lot longer in retirement. And so to financially have the amount of money that you need and be able to pay for your healthcare at the age of 65 is not as feasible as it used to be. And number two, how long we're living. I remember it was probably in the 90s where I saw this commercial, maybe it was the early 2000s, and it was an advertisement for a financial planner, I'm sure, some financial planning company. And they had these people, and they had them go up to a timeline, and they had them put a circle or a button on the age that the oldest family member they knew lived to. Like in my family, my great-grandmother was 103, my grandfather was 102. So there's a lot of longevity in my family, and many people live into their 90s. So if I were going up to that timeline, I would put a button at 103. And then people step back, and of course, the theme of the advertisement was, are you going to have what it takes to live to be 103? Now, I have always wanted to live to be 100. Ever since I was younger, I always said, I'm going to get an A. I'm going to get 100. You know, I'm going to live to be 100. So when I went to a strategic coach the very first time, they have you do this activity called the Lifetime Extender Program. And one of the things they mention before you do this activity is the fact that the amount of information that we have in medical fields is doubling every 8 months. Every 8 months. I mean, everything we know about breast cancer is doubling every 8 months. So the idea that we would have breakthroughs and cures for all of these things that ail us is very realistic, because the amount of information that we have is doubling so fast. And they have you write down on this piece of paper how long you think you will live. So I obviously put down 100. When I've always said I'm going to live to be 100. And the coach said, you know, they usually have everybody share how long they think, you know, how long do you think you'll live? And he said, somebody wrote down 48. And he said, why do you think they did that? And somebody in the class raised their hand, and I knew the answer too. It was because that's how old their father was when they died. And they said, yeah, his dad died at 48. So he thought he would die at 48. And I know this, I knew that answer so quickly because my mother's father died when she was in college. So my grandfather, who lived to 102, is actually, I guess, my step-grandfather, but the only grandfather I knew. Her father had a massive heart attack in his, maybe his 49 or 50, like he was very young. My father's father died just shy of his 61st birthday, and I was in eighth grade at the time, and I remember thinking, my father could die the same way, just genetically. Like there are a lot of genetic conditions. And sure enough, my father died just shy of his 61st birthday, the same exact way that his father did, same time of year and everything. It was kind of surreal. But genetics play a huge role in our longevity and also in our mindset about how long we will live. So because the women in our family typically live until their 90s or 100, I am very confident that I will lived 100, God willing, that I will live to be 100 years old. If I were a male in our family, I might not be as confident, but because the males on both sides of the family tend to die younger than the women do. Okay, so I have this age of 100. And our coach said, all right, so when are you going to stop growing? When are you going to start dying? Like, when are you going to not be productive? Like, are you going to slow down at 9, if you're going to be 100, 99, 98, 97? Like, when are you going to start to slow down? And I was like, no, I want to live vibrantly until I'm 100. And I saw in my great-grandmother and in my step-grandfather, both of them with it, quick, witted, all the way to 100. And then the last couple of years of their lives, they did start to forget things. Okay, so I could see an example of, you know, having all of your mental faculties all the way until you're 100. And the women who live into their 90s, they never got dementia. Like, that is not something that happens in our family. So I'm just believing it's not going to happen for me. So he starts talking about, our coach starts talking about the fact that, you know, the average life expectancy keeps getting longer and longer in the United States. So if you're thinking that you're going to be 100 and I'm only 46 now, so I'm thinking that 54 years from now, I'm going to die at 100. Well, many, many people are living to 100 now. So am I thinking 50 years from now, people are still going to be dying at 100? Probably not, because 50 years ago, people weren't living to 100, right? They were living to 80. So what if I'm not going to die at 100? What if I can add on more years to that just because of medical advancements in technology and the fact that I'm eating a salad a day now? You know, let's add that in there. So we were asked to write a new number. Like, how old do you think that you might live based on the fact that all these medical advances are going to come and people live longer and longer? So I put down my new age, which is a really weird age, which is 128. Like, I can't even mentally, you know, think that I will actually be 128. But when I logically explain this to you, maybe I'll be 128. So then the coolest thing they have you do is they say, okay, now you just gave yourself 28 more years of living, like 28 more years of productive, healthy, vibrant living. What are you going to do with that time? 28 years. That's a long time. And I immediately got this really cool vision of something I want to do when I turn 100 until I'm 128. This is going to be my next act. And I'll tell you what it is, because feel free if you want to do it now. I think that 14-year-old kids are brilliant. There is something about a 14-year-old kid, boys, girls. I see it more in boys than girls, but I'm sure it is just as much girls as it is boys. I think that we should have a summer camp where only 14-year-olds go, and we present all the problems in the world to these kids, and we just let them come up with all kinds of ideas and experiments. And it is amazing to me how the 14-year-old mind works. Did you know that email was created by a 14-year-old? Television was created by a 14-year-old. I mean, it is amazing to me the things that 14-year-olds just, I think it's the transitioning of their brain at that time. I loved teaching middle school. I just think it would be really, really fun to have some kind of a camp where you had 14-year-old kids there with also two generations ahead of them. So when you learn about generations, you learn that there are like yin and yang, or dominant and recessive generations. So baby boomers and millennials are both dominant generations, and Gen X and Gen Z are both recessive generations. So they tend to understand each other better when they're not competing. So millennials and baby boomers kind of tend to compete a lot, but they understand each other better. And if you can go all the way, because we're obviously living a lot longer, we're going to have the complementary generations living at the same time. So the kids that are in grade school today, let me do the math real quick. The kids that are in grade school today that are 0 to 18 years old are the same makeup of people that are about 80 to 100 years old. So if at this camp where we had 14-year-old kids, we also had people that were 80 to 100 years old interacting with these kids, they're the same generational makeup. They both have the same characteristics. So currently the alpha generation, which is in grade school today, and the 80 to 100 year old people are the silent generation. It's a very artistic generation. It's a very accepting generation. they have a lot of similarities in the way that they think. So at this camp, I would have 80 to 100-year-old people there with the 14-year-old kids because they would have this common, just in their fabric being because of their generations, they would be able to talk, well, okay, I don't need to tell you about my whole entire idea. But anyway, you see how my mind goes? Because now I'm realizing that the generations are going to be alive at the same time. That hasn't happened before. If you read this generation's book, typically by the time you get to the 80 and 100 years old and the kids are in grade school, there isn't enough time for them to interact. But if we're living to be in our 120s, then there would be. And that generation is going to speak most to the grade school generation. And I love the movie The Intern, where I can't remember, it's a really popular guy, goes in and he helps the internet girl get her move, her helps her with her business and gives her a lot of insight into, you know, the way old business was done. And I really feel like if we pull on all of the generational strengths, because all of the generations are going to be living a lot longer, that we're going to get a lot more interesting things done. Okay, out of my strategic coach, back to our idea today that 60 is the new 40. It's not necessarily that 60 is the new 40. It's that we all are going to have multiple extra generational time while we are alive. So when I wrote the book, The Mindset of Organization, I was writing it for the typical, even though I'm going to live to be 100, a lot of people around me say they're not going to live to be 100, they're going to live to their 80s, early 90s. So in The Mindset of Organization, I gave you four phases of life, which basically ended at the age of 80. I don't think that's going to be the case anymore, especially not for me. So for me, I have childhood, 0 to 21. Accumulation, 20 to 40. That was all correct. Survival, 40 to 55. Yeah, kind of. And then I'm supposed to go into downsizing and legacy? I don't think so. Here's how I think it's going to work now. Childhood, 1 to 21. Accumulation, 20 to 40 while you're setting up your life. That 20 years, it really gives your foundation for whatever you want to do when you're 40. I'm telling you, if you're not 40 yet, you'll know what I mean when you get there. There is a life calling inside of you that you really want to do. And when you're 40, you're finally like, I'm just going to do it. Like, I don't care what people say anymore. I'm just going to go and do this thing. 40 to 60, that's what I say I'm in right now with Organize 365. But I'm looking ahead. And I'm looking at people that are 60 to 65 years old. And here's the thing. They're not retiring. They're also not leaving the workforce. Right? And so there's not room for the people coming in because these people aren't leaving. Or when they are leaving, they're starting whole new foundations, whole new businesses. So in your 20s and 30s, you're getting your foundation. In your 40s and 50s, you're starting your next act or your rebirth, as I like to call it. And then it's happening again at 60. 60 to 80, you're going to do something. And then I think what's going to happen is as technology gets better, our research gets better, our health gets better, we're able to live longer and longer, it's going to happen again at 80. Like at 80, you're going to have a rebirth. So you have these rebirths every 20 years, and it keeps going as long as you want. So 60 is the new 40, because 40 is when you decide you're going to do whatever your life's calling is. But I think that's going to keep evolving and changing every 20 years. Now, along with this, I want to tell you about women. So women, I have been doing some research on feminism, the women's movement, and I will tell you, I was very naive and I was very ignorant in my knowledge about it. I'm 46. I'm very blessed. I was born in the 70s to a middle-class family. I went to high school. I went to college. My grandmother and my great-grandmother and my mother all went to college. I did not really realize that women going to college was such a new phenomenon. When I look back at it, my great-grandmother and my grandmother, yes, they absolutely went to college. They went to Kent University, but they went to the Kent Normal School and they got a degree in home ec. I didn't realize out of my naivete that it wasn't just any degree they wanted at any university they wanted to go to. I now know that that is not the case. My mother went to Purdue University, but she went in the late 60s, early 70s, which was after women had started breaking into going to the colleges. So I'm now much more appreciative of the advances that many women made in the 50s and 60s and early 70s, so I can do, be, and have anything I want as a woman today. And I'm now recognizing how short of an amount of time it has been since women have been able to get credit. Like, I need credit for my business. Had I been doing this same business 30 years prior, that would have been very difficult for me to get. Now it's getting easier and easier. The last holdout, I think, for us as women, and this is something I've been saying to people in person, but I haven't really been saying on the podcast yet, is that if you look at what you're doing as a woman, typically we're following whatever our parents did or whatever we see on TV. And what our parents did and what we see on TV is not really indicative of the future life that we as women, especially in the United States, are going to be living. So I'm a 46-year-old woman in the United States. If I look to past generations, well, you know, past generations, people work to 65 and then they retire and then they go to a second home. First of all, that's not feasible for my husband and I. And again, that's, you know, 20 years from now. But also, second of all, it's not my desire. It's not my desire really to ever retire. Like, I don't want to retire. As I look around me, many of the women in their 40s, what I am observing is happening is they spent the 20s and 30s having their children or growing their careers. Now they're to 40 and they're starting their rebirth and their second act. They invested in, you know, being home with their children and balancing work and family. And now their kids are off to college and they're looking forward to the next 20 or 40 years growing their career and putting all of their energy into that. I didn't really see women starting a new career in their 40s growing up. Like, I'm trying to observe in my head the women that I was watching. It seemed to me through observation that you choose in your 20s or 30s if you were going to be a stay-at-home mom or if you were going to be a working mom. And if you chose to be a stay-at-home mom, most of those moms then did not go to work when the kids were in college. They still were at home and they were volunteering and things like that. Again, it's just my observation from where I live and my age. However, in my own peer group, what I'm noticing is as the kids go to full-time school, some of my friends started back into 9-to-5 jobs, you know, as their youngest one went to full-time first grade school maybe, or when they went to middle school, or when the oldest one went to college to help pay for college. We're re-entering the workforce if we were home. If we weren't home, they're staying in the workforce and they're continuing up the corporate ladder or growing their businesses. The other neat observation I'm finding is a lot of the people that I started blogging with, that I saw blogging in 2008, I started in 2012. These women are growing these businesses. You know, they were growing it to a six-figure business. That was a big thing to have a six-figure blog or a six-figure business. And now all of a sudden in the last 18 months, I have seen dozens of them. Like, it just seems like I see a new one every couple of weeks pop up that they are now a multi-million dollar business owner with a team. And they're doing $1 million, $2 million, $5 million, $10 million in businesses with what started at a blog in 2008. And we're just kind of evolving as females and as business owners and in our 40s as being able to integrate being a mother, being a business owner, and all of those things together. Now, what I want to say to all of this is that the one thing I have observed holding us back, which I've been saying in person but not on the podcast, is our house. It's your house. As I've appreciated the women's movement and I've started to look into it further and I've talked about people with people in person on both sides of the aisle and I've observed how different generations look at the women's movement, I see us breaking all of the barriers in funding our businesses and becoming CEOs of companies and, you know, founding our own film studios and all of that. Like, women are really breaking through all of those barriers. But then you get back in your house and we revert back to how our parents were and what we see on TV. And I really want to empower you specifically, ladies, that it's not about necessarily even equally sharing the work within your house. Just get rid of the work. Honestly, like, a lot of the things that we do around the house that we are organizing and we are doing is because it's old-fashioned traditions that we saw our parents doing that may not even serve us anymore. Living in homes for decades upon time, which may not serve you anymore. what are you doing that you shouldn't even be doing at all? Like, you don't even need to find a way to make it easier or to streamline it. Maybe just don't do it at all. And secondly, we have to maintain our homes. We have to clean them. We have to organize them. But we have to maintain them for sure, 100%. When you are making this transition, year 39, I see it all the time. It is not an accident. There are a whole bunch of 40-year-olds in the 100-day program. We get this itch at 37, 38, 39 to really declutter and organize our house. And I think what we're doing is we are nesting for this rebirth. I see the same thing happening at 55, at 60, at 75. There is this thing that happens where we're like, I have got to get this house organized. And I think what we're doing is what you do when you're getting ready to have a baby. When you're getting ready to have a baby, even though I adopted my babies, I'm telling you, you could have eaten off the floor. You could have heard a pin drop. There wasn't even a weed left in our yard when Abby was born. There, everything was completely 100% organized. You know why? I was going to need all the time for this baby. Like, this baby was going to depend on me to live. And I had to have all of my time available to her. And I was so sleep deprived because I also had a 2-year-old. Like, I didn't have time to dust or mop or clean. Like, I just had time for the basics. And I think when we really dive in on the 100-day program and you go all access, here's what ladies are saying. All right, I spent 2 decades mothering and I'm ready to rebirth into my next career. I lived in this area and I'm ready to rebirth and I'm ready to live into this area. I'm ready to embrace being a grandmother. I'm ready to start my own business. I'm ready to take my business to the next level. And you instinctively know that in order to do that, you need to clear out the clutter, organize what's left, streamline it, because you need to eliminate the amount of time that that house is taking. You need to cut it back as low as you can so that you could pour your heart and your soul and all of your time into that thing that you were 100% uniquely created to do. So Greg drops off our dry cleaning now at the dry cleaner. And every time he comes back, he goes, boy, they love you down there. They really miss you. They wish that you would come back. So I dropped off our laundry this week. They said, we have missed you. Where have you been? Because last year at this time, I started taking all of our laundry to the dry cleaner. I mean, all of it. It was costing me anywhere from $50 to $80 a week. I know. Can you believe it? Oh my gosh. I was so embarrassed that, number one, I couldn't keep up on my own laundry, that it was costing this amount of money, yada, yada, yada. And I did it the whole school year last year. And over the summer, I taught the kids to do their own laundry. They do their own laundry now. Do you know how much laundry I do? 1 load a week. Mind-blowing. 1 load a week. Greg and I have 1 load of laundry a week. I used to do 10 loads a week. And when I was at the dry cleaner, and she's like, we missed you, blah, blah, blah. I said, I would have never survived last year without you, without your help. Thank you so much. You know, Joey's off at college. Abby's doing her own laundry. Both of them are wearing their clothes more than once because they have to do their own laundry. I said, I would have never made it through without you. What can you do? I think, honestly, while you're starting the 100-day program and while you're diving into getting your home organized, is because if you really focus on it and you really dive deep into getting the whole house decluttered and organized, like you're on a mission, like you're nesting, then you're ready for this rebirth. You're ready for the Rise Conference. I'm so excited about the whole Organized 365 journey. I was just interviewed on a podcast the other day, which probably will be coming out about the same time that you're hearing this podcast. And I said, it's kind of like we've created a university because you can organize your home and organize your paper and organize your work. You get in, you get out in about 18 months, you come to a paper organizing workshop and you cap it all off with the Rise Convention, which really empowers you and motivates you to go out and live your best life. The thing that is taking us out of the game, ladies, in breaking those ceilings that you want to break through is your home. Is your home not being organized? Because as soon as you do get out with your friends, in your corporation, in your business, and then you find out that the bill was late or something didn't get paid or your kids didn't need what they needed or there isn't clean underwear, all of a sudden, it doesn't matter what room you're in. When you get that text or that phone call, here's what I think. I don't know what you think, but here's what I think. Oh my gosh. What made me think that I could go do this? My house is not in order. Like my family doesn't have what they need. I'm not good enough. I need to go back and I need to reorganize at home. And when you have a Sunday basket, so everything goes in there and you do it on Sunday, and your home is organized and it's decluttered and it's streamlined and you're out, then you can really step into the unique and powerful woman that you were created to be. And whatever magic gift you have inside of yourself to share with the world, you can do that with confidence, knowing that your household is fine behind you and you don't have to worry about what's going on. So yes, 60 is the new 40, but pretty soon 80 is going to be the new 60 and 100 is going to be the new 60. And so we're just going to have these rebirths. You can live as long as you want. Highly recommend the salad a day. I'm definitely doing the salad a day. Who knows if I actually start exercising other things. Do you know that your brain uses 80% of your energy every day? And I definitely exercise my brain. That's my story and I'm sticking to it for a while. So what are you getting ready to rebirth? And are you diving deep into the organization that you need to have behind you in order to make that rebirth as powerful as it can be?